Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we have a guest with us, and she's from a bit beyond. It's Karen Breuker, and she is from Denmark. Good morning to you, Karen.
Good morning.
Karen, you're an intern at the Danish Denmark Museum.
Yep.
And how long have you been here?
I've been here, I think, about a month and a half so far.
Okay, so you're just sort of learning lots of things here, getting your feet wet, so to speak.
Yes. Settling in, it's very nice.
Yes. Well, of course, we want to know about you, first of all, Karen. You know, where you grew up in Denmark, a little bit about your family.
Yep. I grew up in Aarhus, the second largest town of Denmark. It's in the middle of Jutland. And I was born there, and I grew up just north of the city. My parents still live there, and that's where I went to high school and went to university, and I'm going back to go to do my master's degree there as well. So.
Okay, so you finished up your first part of university. And now you have this internship. Is that something that's required for you to do, or is just a really good idea?
It's a nice idea. I think it's going to give me some, it's going to complement, I think, my studies to
and
have this.
Your major is?
Linguistics.
Okay. Well, as you look out there, I mean, we're really getting ahead of time, but as you look out there, 10 years from now, what do you hope you're doing?
I'm not quite sure. I think it's always difficult to finding jobs with linguistics. It's not a job title that people, or sort of, it's not a field that many people, that there are many jobs in.
Not a lot of job openings.
But I think if you're a bit creative in reading the job ads, and you'll be able to find something. And I really would like to do something with linguistics, and I think maybe museums could be a possible field.
Well, talking about being creative, looking at the job ad, I'm thinking you had to do a bit of that when you applied to be an intern at the Danish Immigrant Museum.
Yeah, on some level, but on the other hand, sort of looking at a big data material and trying to see the patterns is something that you will find in many fields, I think, and that's what I've been trained to do in linguistics, and that's part of what I'm doing at the museum as well. So even though the subject is a bit different, then I think I can use some of what I learned. And I work with documents, with Danish and English language, so I use some of that too.
Tell us a little more in detail what your project is that you're working on right now.
I'm working with a collection of artifacts that all belong to one Danish family that immigrated to the United States in the late 1940s.
1940s. Okay, that's not so very long ago when we think about, you know, many people immigrating in the 1800s. 1940, okay.
But before that, they lived in Japan for many years, so they have a really interesting history of being in Japan during the Second World War and trying to find their feet in Denmark afterwards, and then deciding to come to the United States.
So where did they begin their lives?
Both the mother and father in this family came from Denmark, were born in Denmark, but then worked abroad for some years and met in Japan.
Oh, how interesting.
It's a really nice story. It's really,
you know, we talk about now how small the world is, and you know, but this was in quite some time ago, and still they came from Denmark and met in Japan. Well, are you spending quite a lot of time about their time during the World War II? That has to have been a very unusual happening for people at that time. I mean, you know, that's not going to happen again. People from Denmark could meet in Japan now. It would not be the same as it was during that particular time.
No. It was a rough time for them. The father worked at Ford Motor Company at the time. So just working for an American company made him suspicious to the American or to the Japanese authorities. So he was actually arrested and interned for 2.5 months. And they were interned at a camp for the rest of the war there. It was really a strong experience, or
could be some parallels. I'm thinking to the Japanese who were interned in the United States.
Yeah, probably. It was about the same time. So, quite a parallel story. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so then when they came to the United States. What did they do then?
They settled in Tacoma in Washington, and the father worked for a couple of years. First, he worked for a car company there, and he had a couple of different jobs after that. The daughter married a local there, and I think they all lived in that area for the rest of their lives. So So after that, they were done living abroad.
So how did it come then that you are working with them as a family?
I think part of it is that there are a couple of documents in Danish show that I get the, I can translate those and make them accessible to people who want to study those documents. So I'll do English language summaries or translation of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a collection with some boundaries. So it's a neat project for a limited time.
Mm-hmm. And so did someone from their family bring those things to the Danish Museum?
Yeah, the collection was donated by a close friend of the daughter in the family. And she visited us last week and helped us by answering some questions about the family and looking at some pictures. So that was really nice.
Yes, you get that personal contact. Yeah. I'm sure you get to know them pretty well when you're looking through all the records, but to know somebody who knew them personally.
And can tell the stories that they told, and that was really interesting.
Oh, so will this project continue, you know, through your whole stay here? And I guess I should, when is the end of your stay?
I'll be staying till the first days of July, so...
Okay.
It's going to be 5 months all in all. And I think I'm going to continue working with it. If I end before that, I'll go on to something else. But I think it's going to be...
They'll always have something for you to do.
I'm sure they'll.
when you anybody who's been to the museum has... There's so many collections and so many we don't even see.
Yeah. Yeah. And most of it's in storage and kept for... Sort of, kept safe until it's needed in some way or...
What was your experience with museum work before you came here?
I haven't actually worked at a museum, so this is my first experience of that kind.
Uh-huh.
So, and it's been very nice and really interesting to see the works behind the scenes at the museum. So,
now, having visited with some of the interns in the past, they have gotten to go to some meetings around the country, some other kinds of seminars and that sort of thing. Are you going to get some of those experiences also?
There's a meeting about the Ray Bill community in Chicago in late April that I'm going to with some of the other people from the museum. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, it's just another great opportunity to meet some other folks doing other kinds of things. And yes. Had you been to the United States before?
No. This is my first time.
So any surprises?
I don't think so, but it's been nice to see it close up. I mean, it's a culture that's really exposed during sort of popular television and music and popular culture. So
you said you lived north of the second largest city, but was that a rural area? Or was that still pretty much city?
Quite a rural area, but with good sort of connections to the city. So I think I've had both worlds.
But coming to Elkhorn then again was not a huge shock.
No,
Elkhorn's pretty little.
It's little, but I was actually surprised how active the community is, how many shops there are, even though some have closed, and how active people are in the community. So that's been a really nice surprise and nice experience. Mm-hmm. That even though there are 650 people there, it's actually quite a lively city or village.
Well, and having the Danish Museum there makes folks, again, I think more worldly, shall I say, that they know about things happening around the world much more than other small towns may, although that's those walls aren't there anymore. They're like there used to be. Is there a favorite food or a favorite thing you have in the United States that you really don't get in Denmark?
I think the one thing that I've noticed is the chocolate syrup that you can heat up in the microwave. I think that's a really nice idea.
You
I haven't seen that
fan.
In Denmark.
I bet they're going to take some of that home with you or a recipe you can make your own. Yes. Okay, from the other side, you know, what would you tell people in the United States that either positives or things, you know, it'd be a really good idea if you changed this because you get a view of the United States that, you know, we don't get as having lived here.
I'm not quite sure.
It's a toughie.
Yeah. I miss the public transportation system, but I can see why it would be a problem with people living so scattered with because of the great, the really large spaces. But that's some of the things that I miss, that you can always go by public transportation to almost anywhere. But being such a huge country, that's mm-hmm. really difficult to.
Well, we're trying to work on the trains, but that's kind of not not there yet. But perhaps, you know, it used to be a great way of transportation, and there's some encouragement for that coming back. So that's an interesting observation, Karen. What is one of one favorite thing you have in the museum?
That's a good question.
Lots of things there, I know. Yeah. And if people haven't been there, they really need to go.
Yeah. I think, at least in the collection that I've been working with, there are the papers, their internment papers of this family in Japan, and there are not really that many left because most of the evidence for what happened in Japan during the war was destroyed by the Japanese authorities. Uh-huh. So that's really a unique piece, and that's really interesting to have.
Okay. Well, get on over to the museum if you haven't been there, because that's the Danish Immigrant Museum in Elkhorn. And we want to thank you very much, Karen Breuker.
Thank you.
Intern there for the time being. And until next time, here's a thought. A bird sings not because she has an answer. She sings because she has a song.